Can I go back to 2 weeks ago? And I preached I had so much information in one message. Pastor Earl came to me afterwards. He said, you could have had 4 or 5 messages out of that one. And you might have felt the same way, maybe information overload. So I'm going to review just the last part of my message from last time, and then I'm going to build on it, okay? This is what I said at the end of the last message. Can I encourage you to dedicate yourself to God? Lay yourself on that altar every day. Present your body a living sacrifice unto God. Now, once you do that, comes elimination. And number two, I said, eliminate competing distractions. There's so much you could do on a Sunday. There's so much you could do on a Wednesday night. But when you put Jesus first, you're going to want to be with God's people. You're going to want to be hearing the Word of God. So you might need to cut some things out of your schedule and just eliminate those things, because many times our lives are filled with anything except service, and you need to prioritize. Maybe God's going to lead you to cut some things out. All right, and then number three, I said, you got to evaluate your strengths. We got to practice humility, but we got to be honest about our weaknesses, but we can also be honest about our strengths and say, hey, I'm good with my hands. I'm good with my words. I'm good with numbers. I'm good with administration. I'm good with people. I'm good with projects. Use those abilities here in the church. Then I ask you, can I encourage you to cooperate with other believers? Hey, we are one body. We all have different functions. Remember the illustration about the nightlight? None of us are inferior. Everyone has a place and a purpose in the church. We got to cooperate together. And then I finally ask you, can I encourage you to activate your spiritual gifts right here at Gospel Light? Your talents, your abilities, your spiritual gifts. You need the ministry of others in our church, and we need your ministry. No one needs to be an island to themselves, so let's cooperate together. Let's get the job done. Let's accomplish what God has given us to do here at the church. So building upon that, our theme today is a disciple is one involved in God's work. So we're kind of building on it. The Bible is the record of God's activity in the world. In the Bible, he reveals himself, he reveals his purposes, he reveals his plans, he reveals his ways. How many think God is interested in what's going on here at the church? How many think he's even interested in things that are going on in your house? He's a loving God, he's a caring God. But he's got a purpose for us. He's got plans for us. How many want to see his ways done in our life? Well, I know I do. So I just got 3 quick points to get us started. Number one, God is working around you. Do you realize that? God is working around you. And he wants you to join him in his work. He's doing things behind the scenes that we cannot see with these physical eyes. How many believe that? Say amen. Right? He is at work. Number two, he is pursuing a love relationship with you. That's why it's not about singing to him the words of a song. He's looking at your heart. It's the heart of worship. That's what he's concerned about. Man looks at the outward appearance. Finish it with me. Ready? God looks on the heart. He wants to have a love relationship with you. Now, if you love someone, are you going to talk to them? I would sure hope so. If you love someone, are you going to spend time with them? Come on now. If you love someone, are you going to listen to them? Well, I've just described, what's that? I just described a quiet time with God. There's going to be time of listening. There's going to be time of talking, praying. And you're going to enjoy time in his presence. He wants that love relationship. Number three, God invites me to become involved in his work. Now, he's working all around us. He's pursuing you. He wants to have a love relationship with you, but then he invites you. He is so gracious. He says, hey, come be involved in my work. I'll show you exactly where you can serve me. I'll show you exactly where you can get involved in and be used greatly of me. When God was ready to judge the world, he came to a man. Anybody remember that man at the time of the flood? Noah. When God was ready to judge the world, he came to a man named Noah. When God was ready to build a nation, the nation of Israel, he came to a man. Y'all remember his name? Y'all remember his name? Abraham. Let's say that together. Y'all need some brushing up on this, all right? He's the father of the Israelites. Ready? Who was it? Abraham. Good. When God heard the cry of the Israelites, this might have got you confused, and decided to deliver them from Egypt, he came to a man. What was his name? There you go, Moses. God accomplished his will through these men as they surrendered their lives, presented their bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And he had a relationship with them. And then he said, hey, boys, I'm going to invite you into my work. When God wanted a church to serve this community right here in Bonsack that would honor him and reach people with the gospel, he called a man. And I'm, praise God, that man's still on the back row, Pastor Earl Clemens. Amen? Are you still alive and kicking, brother? Amen. God had a plan. God had a purpose. And he came to Pastor Earl and it laid on Pastor Earl's heart to build a church. Now, when God is about to do something, listen, he takes the initiative and he comes to one or more of his servants to get the job done. He lets them know what he's about to do. Look at this wonderful verse in Amos 3:7. Can you read it with me? Surely the Lord God will do nothing. In other words, he never does anything. Listen, keep reading, ready? But, or until he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Hey, he never does anything until he reveals his plans to a man of God, to a woman of God, when he's got a job for them to do. We don't take the first step and pursue him. Nuh-uh. He takes the first step and initiates that. He pursues us. And as we are obedient children, living in a love relationship with Jesus, then God will show us where he's working so we can join him. Pastor Earl told a funeral director, when I first arrived here, I had become the pastor of Gospel Light, and we had a funeral. Me and Pastor Earl have done many, many funerals. I think I counted on the board in the back. Now, this doesn't even include non-members, but members who have passed away since I became your pastor, 38. That doesn't include Evelyn and others that were not members that attended our church. Isn't that crazy? So me and Pastor Earl were always going and helping with funerals. And he told the funeral director that day, we had to go all the way to Tennessee to get our new pastor. You didn't really go to Tennessee. But that's where I was at. And God knew where I was at. He knew y'all needed a pastor. And so he put us together. See, God was working in your lives. Y'all were praying all of 2016. And then God was at work in my life. And I was praying. I was seeking God all of 2016. And when I came to preach at Gospel Light on that weekend in September, and I preached for the very first time, September 11th, isn't that a wonderful day to have your first preaching in a church? September 11th, 2016, Jesus revealed to me that this is where he was working. And that's when he invited me to join him in his work. A couple weeks later, I candidated. 3 weeks later, voted in as the pastor. Now, is it possible for God to be working around you and you not notice? Think about that. How many realize after the fact that, man, God was right there the whole time? I could have been involved in his work, but I didn't see it. Well, let me give you an illustration from the Bible. Look at 2 Kings. You're right there. Elisha and his servants servant was in Dothan, surrounded by an army. The servant was terrified. They thought, oh my goodness, there's no way out of here. We're going to be defeated. Guess what, y'all? Elisha was calm. How many like to be around a person through turmoil, through trials? Woohoo, they're just calm. Trusting God. We're going to make it. It's going to be all right. That's the way Elisha was. It's because Elisha saw something that the servant couldn't see. Many of you have heard this story. You know exactly where I'm going. Ready? Look at 2 Kings 6:17. And Elisha prayed. Hallelujah. Hey, if you want to get a hold of God and you want to see things that others can't see, you need to spend some time in prayer. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open this servant's eyes that he may see. And by the way, a lot of times God will answer your prayer. Hey, that was a quick prayer, wasn't it? It don't have to be all this kind of flowery language and fancy words. Elisha just simply said, Lord, open this guy's eyes that he may see. And read the next phrase with me. Ready? And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw. You know what that little servant, that servant did? He looked up. And guess what he saw? And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Do y'all realize there's spiritual warfare going on all around us? You can't see it. But I tell you, the Lord is fighting our battles when we don't even realize it. Can you close your eyes this morning? And through the eye of faith, can you see the armies of God gathered on the hillside, round about, watching out for you, guarding you from Satan's attacks, encouraging you in the fight that you're in? Y'all, I've told you before, this is a battlefield. This is not a playground. And there is spiritual warfare going on. And sure enough, that little servant got to see it. He got a glimpse of what's going on. Now you can open your eyes. Only when the Lord opened the servant's eyes was he able to see God's activity all around him. So I want you to know for sure God is working around you right now. Now, how do we recognize his activity around us? Number one, you got to live in that love relationship that I talked about earlier. It's got to be consistent. You say, well, I've been saved for 40 years. I don't need to have a relationship with Jesus. You need to have a relationship all the more. You need to be growing and maturing every day, loving your Savior, singing these songs of worship to him. You're not singing to impress me. You're singing to an audience of one. Have that love relationship. And then God opens our eyes, our spiritual eyes, so that we can see what he's doing. I firmly believe that. Unless God allows you to see where he's working, you will not see it. Now, God has tried at times to get our attention. He's trying to reveal to us where he is at work. We see it, but we don't immediately identify it as God's work. Okay? We say to ourselves, well, I don't know if God wants me to get involved in that. Say there's a need in the church. Maybe an announcement is made, and you say, well, I know they have a need, but I'm not sure God wants to get me to get involved in that. I had better pray about it. By the time we leave the situation and pray, the opportunity to join God may be gone. Maybe he wants you to join right then and there and just trust him by faith. When he lays something on your heart, he's inviting you in. You need to respond to that. Now, don't do something under pressure from me trying to get you to, hey, we need some help. No, but when he does it, you better answer, yes, sir. Here I am, Lord. I want to be your servant, and I want to join you where you are at work. You know what that takes? It takes a tender and sensitive heart through that love relationship every day. You'll be ready to respond to God at the slightest prompting. How many of you have been walking down the mall or in the grocery store and the Holy Spirit nudges you, talk to them about Jesus? And you know what you do? Just pass on by. Hey, when the Holy Spirit says, go there, speak to that person, give something to that person, serve here in the church, work there, do this, don't do that. You know, when God lays stuff like that on your heart, you need to obey. At the slightest prompting, he is trying to guide you in his life. And he's trying he's inviting you to join him where he's at work. So we got to be sensitive to it. Now, when something happens around you that only God can do, you can know that it is God's activity. Are you with me, church? A lot of times we're only seeing what man can do. But on occasion, we get to see what God can do. And you can bet your bottom dollar. When you see something around you that only God can do, you can say, hey, that's God's activity. Suppose a neighbor, listen, maybe a friend, maybe one of your children begins to ask questions about spiritual things. Think about it. You don't have to question whether that is of God and whether God is drawing them or not. He is the only one who can do that. So if someone's asked you a question about a spiritual matter, woo, God's at work. I want to get involved in that. No one will ever seek after God unless God is at work in their life first. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Romans 3:11. What's it say? There is none that seeketh after God. Wow. So that means when somebody is seeking after God, that means God is trying to draw them. He's already taken the initiative. And when they come to you with a spiritual question, hey, God's at work. How about this one? Jesus passed through a crowd one day. He saw a man, a short man, named Zacchaeus, up in a tree. And so Jesus, I think he's thinking in his heart, nobody can seek after me with that kind of eagerness that this old boy's climbed up in a tree in order to be able to see me. There's no way that could happen unless the Father is at work in his heart. You ever thought about that? And then Jesus breaks out in song. Are you ready? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. You think Jesus did this? Probably not. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree, say it with me, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. Jesus pulled away from the crowd, and he said, hey, God's at work in this man's life. I'm going to take time to spend with him. I'm going to join God, my Father, in where he's already working. Isn't that sweet to have an attitude like that? How many want to join with God our Father where he's already working around us? And he can use us greatly. What happened? Salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. Amen. Sure enough, God was working in his life. He was drawing him to Jesus. Jesus was always looking for the activity of God, and Jesus joined in that. Now, he's God. I understand that. And we understand John 6:44, no one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws him. But when you see something like that in somebody else's life, you can go ahead and mark it down. God's at work in that person's life, and I want to be a part of it. Whatever I can do. God's also at work when you see someone come into Christ. Isn't it wonderful we're in a church where we see people come to Christ on a regular basis? When they're asking about spiritual matters, when they're trying to understand spiritual truth, when they're being convicted of sin, when they're being convinced of the righteousness of God, when they're being convinced of his judgment, only God can draw people to himself. Only God can cause people to seek him. Only God can reveal spiritual truth. Only God can convict of sin. Now, these are some things only God can do. You know how we need to pray? Are you ready? God, show me where you are at work. And then we need to make a connection between our prayers and what happens next. Because he's going to show you. He wants you to know. where he's at work, and then you can join him there. Now, what kind of assignment will God offer you? Man, there's so many assignments. Number two, I thought of Jeremiah. Not only Zacchaeus, I thought of Jeremiah. If you turn over to Jeremiah 1, I want you to see this in your Bible. I'll give you some time to flip over real quick, okay? We're getting near the end. Jeremiah 1, chapter 5. I love this, especially on the day of Embrace Grace baby showers, amen? And we love life. And me and Tanya were in front of Planned Parenthood on Friday. Before I formed thee in the belly, say it with me, ready? I knew thee. Whew, does that do something for you right there? And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. In other words, before you were born, I set you apart, Jeremiah. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, just because God had known him before his birth, just because God had sanctified him or set him apart for service, did that mean Jeremiah lived an easy life? Let's read verse 17. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, Jeremiah, and arise. Get up, prepare for action. Speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. Sometimes I look out at your faces and I'm dismayed. Amen. Like, are y'all really getting this? Sometimes I think I got one eyeball on my forehead, you know, and the way y'all are looking at me. But he told Jeremiah, don't be dismayed by their faces, lest I confound thee before them. In other words, don't be afraid of them. You keep speaking the truth, or I'll make you look foolish in front of them. Now, I've had times of that. Remember me falling on the steps on a couple of occasions? Y'all get a little laugh there. Make me look like a fool. But really, that's not what he's talking about. He just told him to be strong and courageous. Stand up. Keep preaching the truth. Don't be afraid of people. Look at verse 18. And behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city. Wow. He said, Jeremiah, I've made you a fortified city. Sounds pretty good. How about this? Against the whole land. I'm sorry. That's defense city. And an iron pillar. Wow, that's strong. And brazen walls or bronze walls against the whole land. Against the kings of Judah. Against the princes thereof. Against the priests thereof. And against the people of the land. Okay, listen. Here's Jeremiah's happy life. Are you ready? They shall fight against thee. Ruh-roh. He was so excited about being ordained of God. God knew him before he was created. But now he gets the facts. If you're going to stand for God, they're going to fight against you. Ooh, but I love the next line. Say it with me, ready? But they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. You know what God was telling to Jeremiah? You're going to have some hard times, but I am going to take care of you. Woo! Does that excite y'all? How many believe God can take care of you? Even during the rough roads. Hey, with the worldliness that's outside the church, I experience that every Friday. Not every Friday, about once a month when we're at Planned Parenthood. We get the horns, and we get the certain display on the finger, you know what I'm saying, on the hand, right? People don't like what we're doing. We're standing for truth. That's exactly what God told him. People are going to fight against you. Not only the worldliness outside the church, there's worldliness inside the church. People think they can live any way they want to. Oh, I'm just going to do what I want to do. But you know what? When we stand for truth, you're going to have opposition. Right? Every servant of God that sticks to the word of God has opposition. So I'm just here to tell you that's what happened to Jeremiah. Now, when did God begin preparing Jeremiah for his task to be a prophet? Wow, before he was even born. Let that sink in. Before he was even born. Throughout Scripture, God prepares people for the work he invites them to do. Number three, I thought of Paul, real short. He was trained with the best training, educational-wise, of his day. Guess what God did through all that training? God used him to write most of the New Testament. Aren't you glad for the Apostle Paul? That he joined God where God was at work, and God used him. Now, God's using the experiences in our life to equip us for the next assignment. Most of the time, it's going to be clear as can be. He spends years building our lives so he can give us a fuller assignment. God says, if you're faithful in a little, I'm going to give you more. 17 years ago, right now, the Lord started speaking to my heart about pastoring. So now I'm in my 16th year as a senior pastor after being 17 and a half years as an assistant pastor, an associate. I believe God says, if you're faithful in this, I'm going to bless you. Now, that doesn't mean every associate pastor becomes a senior pastor, right? But usually every pastor has been an associate pastor first. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Right? So we just have to trust him. And, hey, are you ready for the next assignment? Here's what I want you to do. Step out of this role and step into this role. He takes our talents. He takes our abilities. And that's a clue into what God wants you to do. Number one, I've just got two more points. Ready? The Lord or God will usually go beyond our ability so that we can discover his. Let me give you some illustrations. Sometimes your abilities and your talents, my abilities, my talents, stand in the way of letting God show his ability. We get so confident in our flesh and in our own abilities. We're just doing what we can do, and we're missing out on his abilities. He wants us to know him and experience what he can do. I think we experienced that in our teen group last year especially. How many would say amen to that? That wasn't just Pastor Colton, although God used him. That was stuff that only God can do. How many would like to see stuff like that on a regular basis around here? Amen? That's what it's all about. See, God's desire is to reveal himself. The only way he can do that, he does something in your life that everybody knows only God could do. He gives you an assignment that matches his ability and not your ability, not my ability. He gave me an assignment over 8 years ago to pastor this church. I cannot pastor this church without his leading. It's not up to my ability, it's up to his. It's always something only God can do so that we and those around us will come to know God, and guess what? God gets the glory. Moses said, remember this, when God first called him, I can't speak. Have you ever noticed how he does all the talking after that? Remember Aaron was supposed to help him? But if you'll notice, Aaron said very little, and Moses talked a lot. See, when he surrendered his life to God, it wasn't his speaking ability. God's speaking ability took over. God used him in a great way. How about Abraham? I'm too old. 99 years old. And God said, you're going to have a child. You know, when Abraham died, he was 175 years old. So that old man lived 75 more years after Isaac was born. He wasn't too old. You know, both these men, they both experienced what God could do. When God gives you a God-sized assignment, we say, well, I can't handle that, so it must not be God. I want you to listen to me right now. That's the wrong perspective. When God gives you something that's beyond your ability, he wants to work through you, we need to change our thinking to this. Are you ready? If I can't handle it, it probably means this is of God. Hey, this is a God-sized assignment to lead a church, fill Pastor Clemens' shoes, reach this community with the gospel. But I want to see what God can do. I can't handle it myself. But with God, all things are possible. So I'm just asking you, have you felt God leading you to do something beyond your ability? That's the way he leads us, because he wants the glory. When God invites you, there is a window of opportunity for your response. God's going to place you right here. He wants you to join him in his work, and he's going to enable you to do the work. He's going to do it through you. All right, number two, and I'm done. When God speaks, it's always the right time. But here's what we got to do. When he speaks, being obedient immediately is very crucial. We're called to be faithful to whatever God says. Doesn't matter if it's big or small. John 14, I think the verses are up there. Jesus answered and said unto them, John 14, 23 and 24, if a man love me, he will keep my words. How many of you say, I love God? Well, then do what he says. Amen? And my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode or our home with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. He will not obey. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. You know what we need to do, church? Just love him and obey him. Love him, obey him, and get on a mission with God. How many believe God's at work around you? How many believe he loved you first? How many believe he chose you? He brought you into a love relationship with himself. And now he invites you, be a disciple and make disciples. That's our theme for this year. Go on mission with me. Join me where I'm at work. My question for you, are you going to join him? Let's bow our heads in prayer. A disciple is one that's involved in God's work. I wonder if you're here today and you'd say, I'm still seeking the Lord about where I should serve, what I should do for him. I want to be used. Would you endeavor to have that love relationship with him every day? This altar is going to be open. And I wonder right now who would come and say, I want to join God where he's at work. I want to be involved in his work. Not just my work. His work is most important. And I just want to have a willing heart. Church, if you'll start praying that, he's going to start leading you. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, we give this invitation to you. We ask you would bless, help us to be obedient to you. And Lord, if there's anybody that's not saved, and they're feeling that conviction of the Holy Spirit drawing them to Jesus, I pray they would respond right now. Please work in our midst. In your name I pray. Amen.